Well, today, in preparing for a Memorial Day message, this word came to mind. The word is legacy. You may have heard me speak about this before, but I think it's something that we need to remember. We need to keep track on the legacy that we'll be leaving. What does the word legacy mean? Anybody? Can anybody define legacy? No? Yeah? The legend? No, almost. Yeah, similar, Nat. Good, something you leave behind for someone else, right? Which could be, if people tell stories of things that were left behind, probably the word legend comes into probably similar word roots. Something you leave behind. When I think of a legacy, is something that you're going to leave behind for future generations. See, the question is not, will you leave a legacy? Right? All of us will leave a legacy. Right? Everyone in this room will leave a legacy. The question is not, will you leave a legacy? The question is, what kind of legacy will you leave? What kind of legacy will you leave? On Memorial Day, we celebrate the legacy that the soldiers have left us, which has been freedom. Right? We can have church. Right now, there's Christians hiding in basements with mattresses over the windows, trying to sing songs to Jesus silently. I've seen video. It was a reenactment, I believe, but it was a video of a church in China where they were singing worship songs to Jesus, but no words were coming out because they didn't want the police to break down the door. So they would sit and sing, "I Surrender All," would be like this. And they would sit in a room and they would look at each other and just worship Jesus silently. They would take communion silently. Because it's illegal to be a Christian. The legacy that we've been left by our military is freedom, among other things. But just for today's purposes, freedom to worship God, which is a good thing. But all of us will leave some kind of a legacy. Jesus, He didn't come back last Saturday or whatever that guy said. Okay? And I was praying. I knew we were going to have a good meal one way or another. I knew it was either going to be our anniversary dinner on Sunday, or it would have been the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. But one way we were eating good, and it just happened to be our church dinner. But one day Jesus will come back, right? One day He will come back. It might not be today. It might be 10 years, 100 years. It might be 1,000 years from now. People say, oh, there's earthquakes, there's tornadoes, Jesus is coming. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. It might be a while. Don't sit back and just say, Jesus is coming back, like, next year, I don't need to do anything. Because He might not come back in your lifetime. He might not. And if it should take 100 years, after your life is gone, what will future generations say about you? That's the legacy that you leave. I pray that when people look at my life, they would say I pointed to Jesus. Because I don't think anybody's going to look at my life and say I was perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close to perfect. But I love Jesus. And I'm so grateful. That's why we sing worship songs. I'm so grateful that Jesus forgives me even though I don't deserve it. I come to Him humbly, thanking Him for all that He's done in my life. Because I don't deserve any of it. Yet He's given me everything. Martin Luther called it the great exchange. It's where I'm nothing but messed up, wretched, filthy sinner. Jesus is totally pure and perfect. And at the cross is where God allowed me to exchange my dirty heart for the pure heart of Christ. That my sinfulness was taken by Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness was exchanged to me. And I can be right with God when I don't deserve it. So if Jesus should wait on His return for a long time, and generations look back at my life, I would hope they would say He was somebody who loved Jesus. I would hope they would say that I'm a good husband. I'm working on that one. But I would hope that my daughter would say, my daddy was a good daddy. Perfect? No, she knows I'm not perfect. But I'm hoping she would say I was a good daddy. I'm hoping that you as a church would say that I was a good pastor. Now, I could bribe you, but I'm poor, so I got a dollar. I think it's actually my daughter's. I'm holding it for her. I don't even have a dollar. But I'm hoping my legacy would be that. Someone who preached Jesus, that lived Jesus, that wasn't perfect, that didn't play holier than thou, but was just somebody who loved Jesus that pointed to the cross. What will your legacy be? The question isn't, will you leave a legacy, but it's what kind of legacy will you leave? Well, today we're going to look in Scripture at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy verse 11 through 16, actually. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 through 16. I don't have that page number for you today, but if somebody finds it in one of our Bibles, if you can just shout that out, it would be a blessing. The Apostle Paul is a man who left a legacy. The Apostle Paul was a guy who was actually a Christian killer. If you were here on Wednesday night, we watched the Drive Through History episode where they talked about Paul. Paul was a man who was very religious, but he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, and he helped orchestrate the arrest and murder of Christians. Jesus changed his destiny by coming into his life and saving him in a dramatic fashion. Paul was changed by Jesus. He went from Christian killer to the guy who wrote the Bible. It's amazing. So as we look at Paul's life, we see a lot of legacy. Paul left a legacy. One of the things he left was he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul wrote many books in the Bible, including the one we're going to look at this morning. Part of his legacy was that. Another part of his legacy was he was the world's best evangelist and missionary ever. Paul went on journeys, 3 missionary journeys, in fact, around the known world at that time, around the area, long journeys. He faced persecution and he preached Jesus everywhere he went. Paul was a tough dude, preached Jesus, wrote the Bible, huge legacy. The last part of the legacy that I want to talk about briefly today was that he invested in a young pastor. See, Paul knew it wasn't just about him. He knew he had to pass the torch of Christianity onto the next generation. In the Bible, we are so blessed to have 2 of my favorite books in all of Scripture, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote at least 2 letters to Timothy, a young pastor who he considered a son in the faith. He tried to encourage him to teach Timothy how to be a man who followed God. You see, leaving a legacy doesn't just end with us. It's something that goes beyond us. And Paul knew that and he reached out to the next generation. As a young pastor, I love reading 1 and 2 Timothy. I find it to be so practical, and many times I feel like it's almost like Paul is a spiritual father of mine pouring into me. And as we look at his words to Timothy, I pray that they will speak to us today, and we'll just grasp a few things that we can leave here with. We're not going to be long today as we get into the Word. It's not going to be an all-day thing. I don't believe. We'll see how the Lord leads. No, I'm kidding. I was a joke, see? We all have barbecues. But we want to get into the Word, and if you can help me press in and help me focus, and you focus, we'll get through this, and I pray that the Lord will speak to us. Amen? Look at verse 11 before I fall over stuff with my bad hip. Last chapter of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11 says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and He lives in light so brilliant that no human eye can approach Him. That no human can approach Him. No human eye has ever seen Him, nor ever will. All honor and power to Him forever. Amen. We're going to take the majority of the thoughts today from just the first part of verse 12. And you can read that again with me. Fight the good fight for the true faith. And I have that scripture on the screen. You can read that with me. Why not? Fight the good fight for the true faith. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, trying to help him, trying to give him guidance to live for Jesus. Listen, the thought I want to look at first is the last part, the true faith. Listen, we serve the living God, don't we? Amen? Some of us do. Let's try that again. We serve the true God, right? Amen? We have the true faith. Listen, some of the differences between Christianity and the world religions are very stark when you look at them. All the religions of the world basically are people trying to find their way back to God. People trying to do good works to get to God. If you're a Muslim, you follow the pillars of Islam. You go and you kneel, you have to face Mecca 5 times a day, I believe, something like that, right? And then you have to pray, you have to give, you have to take a pilgrimage. We went through this before, not too long ago, when we compared some world religions. But listen, you have to earn your way to heaven. In many other religions, you're doing the same thing. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you have to knock on doors. And if you don't knock on doors, you're not going to heaven. You have to get out and knock on doors. Michael Jackson was Jehovah's Witness. And I heard that even he, with all of his fame, would still go and knock on doors. And he would put on disguises so people didn't recognize him. Imagine that. I mean, he has one of the most recognizable faces anywhere. He's hugely popular. But he was not going to heaven unless he knocked on doors. He had to go to neighborhoods and do that. How sad. All the religions of the world point towards things we should do to get to God. Things we need to do to get to Mecca or heaven, whatever. Christianity is the only one that says there's nothing you can do. Right? Christianity says there's nothing you can do to get right with God. It says we're all sinners. There's nothing we can do. God had to come to us. Right? That we can strive no matter how far we reach into heaven, no matter how much we strive to get right with God, we can't do anything. Christianity says God came to us. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, not for His sins. He didn't have any. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. The sins for you and the sins of mine. Right? Amen? You still with me? Christianity says we couldn't do anything. God had to come to us. Christianity also says there's nothing you can do to be saved except to receive the free gift that comes from the Son. Does church attendance save you? No. Does giving any offering save you? No. Does knocking on doors save you? No. Does praying 5 times a day save you? No. Are any of those things bad? No. Reading the Bible, does that save you? No. What saves you? Faith in Jesus. We just simply receive the gift of salvation. We come to the place where we say, Lord Jesus, I know that You died for me. And I know that You've provided forgiveness. And Lord, I accept Your gift of forgiveness. We confess our sins to Him and we just receive His grace. Right? Amen? We just receive His grace. Do we need to earn anything to stay saved? Like, we're not saved because we read our Bible and go to church and give. But do we have to do those things to stay saved? No. We're saved by grace initially, and we're saved by grace every day. Right? Do you understand? Well, I don't stay saved because I give and because I go to church. I stay employed because I give and go to church. It's my job. I kind of got to show up, right? But I don't stay saved because I give and go to church. I stay saved through faith in Christ. I just live in Jesus. He has just forgiven me. Right? Can you just let that sink in for a moment? Some of you have this false theology of you're saved and then like you'll mess up and you're not saved again. And then you have to pray and then you're saved and then you mess up and you're not saved again. That's not true. You're saved because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. When we have more sin, we confess that to the Lord. But we're saved through faith because of His grace. Do you understand? Jesus loves you. When you trip up in sin, we need to come back and confess that sin. But it's not like God says, wow, didn't see that coming. When we go and pray, Lord, forgive me, I'll never do it again. He says, yeah, you will, next Tuesday at 8:30. I know you will, but I still love you and I still died for you. And when we trip up, we need to come back to the Lord. But see, the devil wants to put that guilt on you that you'll feel like, oh, I've abandoned Jesus again. I can't even bring myself to repent. And that keeps you away from God. Do you see that? A word you need to learn today is assurance. Assurance. Why are you saved? Jesus. Are you saved because you've done good stuff? No, you're saved because Jesus died on the cross for you. Do you stay saved because now as Christians we do good stuff? No, we're saved because Jesus died on the cross for us. Amen? So why do we go to church, read the Bible, pray? It's not that we have to do those things. It's that as a Christian, we get to do those things. It's a joy to come be together with God's people, right? Amen? It's a joy to worship Him. Listen, it's a joy to read the Bible, to hear from God, and have Him speak to us personally. All that is joy. It's a good thing. It's not so I stay saved. It's so I can have a relationship with my Creator who saved me. Amen? I give because God gave me everything. And He tells me to give. He tells me to tithe. So we give to the Lord. It's not religious bondage. It's freedom. Now I'm free to give to Him. Christianity is the only religious system in the world, if you want to call it that. The only one that gives you a surety of going to heaven. You don't have assurance with anything else. You never know. As a Muslim, you never know if you've done enough. As a Jehovah's Witness, you never know if you've done enough. As a Christian, we can be sure that we've done not enough, but Jesus has done everything. Amen? As a Christian, we know we're going to heaven. That's why I said earlier we can grieve, but not as those that don't have hope. We have hope. Our hope is in Jesus alone. We have the true faith. Amen? And it changes everything. So I live for Jesus, I pray to Jesus, I give to Jesus, I walk with Jesus, I read the Bible to hear from Jesus, I spend time with Him, not because I have to, but because I get to. And it's awesome. And it's so good to live for the Lord. And I don't have to depend upon me being good enough because I know I stink. But Jesus is good enough. And we can sing that song, "You're more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need." Right? He's more than enough. Amen? That's the true faith. That's the true faith. The next phrase I want to look at is the good fight. The good fight. Is it sometimes a fight? Isn't this life sometimes a fight? Don't you feel like you get beat up sometimes? We know Jesus is with us, but sometimes it's a fight. Anybody, after you received Jesus as your Savior, you found things to get worse? Anybody? Okay? Here's the deal. The devil didn't need to mess with you when you were already his. Right? The devil didn't have to mess with you. You were already going to hell. What was he going to give you a bad time for? If anything else, the devil would like you just to be happy in your sin. That's why sometimes when we pray for people who don't know Jesus, we need to pray that God will bring them to whatever breaking point they need to come to. Right? Because sometimes people who are happy in their sin, they're not coming to Jesus. They're fine. Drug addicts who are high on crack, they don't care about Jesus. Those in the gutter, Jesus, I need another fix. You know, am I right? They need the Lord. Sometimes we need to pray, God, bring them to whatever point they need to be. And for those of you, as a side note, if you have family members who are there, don't bail them out. Do you hear me? Don't bail them out. It can be your son or daughter or parent, whatever it is. If you're praying, God, bring them to you when you see their lives crash, don't bail them out. That might be the Lord trying to get them to a place where they will come to repent and trust in Jesus. And if you bail them out, you're going to be working against the Holy Spirit. You need to be open. You need to be open. And there may be a time you have to be sensitive and just trust God. But you need to be careful, though, that you're not bailing people out. I knew people who had kids that were alcoholics. And their kid would lose their job. And the parent would swoop right in like a Superman and pay for their car insurance and do all the other things and take care of all the problem. And the kid never had to learn maturity. And I'm talking about kids 30, 40 years old. Don't do that. Let the Lord speak to that. But some of you know that when you received Jesus, your world got turned upside down and things got hard for you because the devil was attacking you. How many of you, when you went to receive Jesus, family members turned on you? Can I see your hand? I know some of you, right? How about friends? All of a sudden the friends weren't getting it, right? Okay. Some of you, I hope for some of you it's not that when you turn to Jesus, nobody knew. We should see a change in your life. For me, people knew. And I got mocked a little bit. But that's okay. You know? It is what it is. Jesus said that they will persecute you, John 14. And in the area, John 15. Read those few chapters, John 16. The need for the Holy Spirit in our lives. When you have trials, be comforted and know that Jesus is with you. But we're going to have trials, right? Is it a good fight? Yeah, it's a fight though. But is it worth fighting? Yes. Anybody here have financial struggles? Right? Who doesn't? Does anybody here have sickness in the family that's just a struggle? Right? Anybody here have questions that it seems like you don't have the answer to with why God would allow this to happen or that to happen? Right? Because we live in a hurting world. Questions where I'll give you my answer and it's three words. I don't know. Why did God allow this to happen? I don't know. But I do know this. We just talked about the true faith. We know that God is sovereign. We know He's in control, right? And we know the fight is worth fighting. It's a good fight to serve Jesus. Because all that we said earlier is true. Heaven is true. Jesus is coming back. He is the Son of God. Right? We can move forward and fight this fight for Him every day. Every day we'll fight for Jesus. Every day we'll say, I will live this life for Him. Everybody have a pulse? If we have a pulse, you know, some of you should check. If you have a pulse, God has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. And some days, it might be a bad day for you. But that doesn't mean it's not the true faith. It doesn't mean that God's not good. It just means some days are bad. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But I want you to fight the good fight. This is a good fight. And it's worthy of your focus and it's worthy of your attention. we're moving forward. Hallelujah. Last word I want to highlight is the first word. Fight! The good fight. Our faith is true. We know that. We have a theological foundation for our lives. We know that it's a good fight. We know it's tough. We know for some of you it's very hard to be a Christian at your workplace. We know for some of you finances are a real killer. We know for some of you there's sickness that affects you. We pray. Sometimes God heals. Sometimes God heals in heaven. But we're going to pray. Sometimes things are just difficult because you may suffer with things yourself. We'll pray for you. That's what the church is here for you. It's a good fight, though. But the last word to just highlight is the word fight. You know you need to fight. We know it's a good fight. Then I want to say we need to fight. Amen? What do I mean by that? I mean never give up. Do you understand? Never give up. Ever. Ever. You need to fight. What will leave a legacy? A life that focuses on Christ, that knows it's a battle, but that says, I will fight anyway. Amen? I showed a clip a while ago. I wish I had it queued up this morning. But it was from Rocky Balboa. Have you seen the newest Rocky movie? Awesome. Part 16 or whatever it is. The newest one he made. Where he's like 85 years old. And he's jacked up on steroids, but it's a good movie. Sorry, Sylvester. I don't know if he was or not. But if you remember the movie, he's standing outside of his restaurant talking to his son. And his son talks about hurting and wanting to give up. And Rocky says something like this. He says, it's not how many times you get hit. It's how many times you get hit and you get back up. Because life will punch you. Life will push you down. Life will try to destroy you. But you need to get up and keep fighting. Right? That's true. That's true. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, he went to preach to a town, okay? Went to share Jesus. They got mad, drug him outside of the city, and threw rocks on him until they thought he was dead. Guess what he did? He got up and went back into town. And later on, in other missionary journeys, he came back to that town. He's still preaching in that town. Now, if you got hit with rocks and bricks, and you wake up, I think my hip is nothing compared to how he felt. And at that point, many of us would on our own, we would say, God, I thought I was supposed to preach. Why did you let this happen to me? I can't trust you anymore. You sent me to preach and they beat me up. I guess this wasn't what I was supposed to do. But instead, Paul knew that Jesus was real. And he knew Satan was real. And he knew there was a real battle between God and the defeated devil. Satan knows he's defeated. He knows his time is limited. But he comes against God. And as we live for Jesus, we're caught in the middle between the Holy Spirit pushing into the world and Satan pushing back for as long as he has left. And Paul knew that right there, right in that moment, he was standing preaching Jesus. And he knew from time to time he was going to get hit. He knew from time to time it was going to hurt. But he knew it was worth it all. He knew the true faith. He knew it was a fight. But it was a good fight. And he knew his part was to keep moving forward. Amen? To keep moving forward. Some of the greatest testimonies we have. I love the testimonies of God healing people of cancer. You know that. But I've heard stories of cancer patients who went through the hard times. They went through the pain and agony. And in the middle of that, they still shared Jesus and still loved Jesus. You understand? When Jesus takes away all of our problems, that's nice. But sometimes when we go through dark times and Jesus is there helping us, sometimes that preaches to our family members even more. Right? Sometimes your lost family members can say, how can you worship Jesus? You have cancer. And we can say, because He's the Son of God. And He won't give me more than I can bear. It's a fight. But it's a good fight for the true faith. And I'll fight it with every breath that I have. And I'll declare that Jesus is Lord. When the world knocks me down, I will get back up. And I will say, Jesus is the Son of God. And He's coming soon. And I will live for Him. Whether I live 40 days, 100 days, 100 years, or 5 more minutes, we're going to point for Jesus. Amen? When you have problems, don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Press forward. Does anybody have that within them? I have that reaction a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know if it's a good thing. But sometimes I think it is that if I get pushed, I'm going to push back. You know? If the world pushes me, I'm going to push back. I'm not going to give up. You're not going to beat me. You're just not. Even with starting our church, I've had people tell me, oh, that's a shame that God called you to this area. Yeah. Had a Spanish lady, God bless her, because she needs it. But she would say, no, it wasn't Olguita. But she said, oh, that's a shame that God called you to Buna. Because everybody here is Spanish. And everybody here is Catholic. And they're not going to come to your church. I don't know why God called you here. And in hindsight, I think it was just racial. Because she's talking to me in English. And we went door to door. A lot of Spanish people. Hi, I'm the pastor from the church up the road. And they would respond, hey, nice to meet you. How are you? They knew English. Right? It was just a racial thing. It's weird. I can't pastor because maybe I don't know your primary language. We have a lot of Spanish people. Thank the Lord. Right? Do I know Spanglish? Yes, a little bit of Spanglish, not Spanish. I know Jesus es el Señor. Our church has a good amount of single parents in it. Are things hard? I'm sure. For those of you who are single moms or single dads, I want to say fight the good fight. Amen? It's worth it. And you know what? Jesus will help you. Right? It's the true faith. Jesus will help you. Cling to Him. Call out to Him and fight the good fight. Live for Him. And it's worth it all. Don't let anybody punk you down. Don't go home and cower behind your financial status. Don't go home and cower at the news. Right? Don't be afraid of your neighbors. Don't be afraid of anything. But God, fear the Lord. Respect Him. Live for Him. And you're going to be fine. Amen? At the very end of his life, Paul shared a few more words to Timothy. If you can just flip there, we're going to read this and we're going to close. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read three verses. Next book to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. This book, this letter, Paul wrote to Timothy while he was in prison awaiting his execution. It's probably the last thing he ever wrote. Right near the end of the book, he's thinking through his life under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he pens these three verses to Timothy. He says this, as for me, My life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. Paul looks back on his life, pouring into the young pastor Timothy, and he can't help but, I just see the word legacy just oozing through this whole section. He says, you know what, I'm at the end of my life. My life is like, he says, it's kind of like an offering in the Old Testament, a drink offering. It's like his blood, picture it in a cup, and it's just being poured out before God. So I've just served God completely. All to Jesus I surrender. He meant all. His whole life. Everything. And he says, it's over. I've given it all to the Lord. I lay myself on his throne. Everything is for the Lord. I fought the good fight. Isn't that something good to say at the end of your life? I fought the good fight. Was it a fight? Yes, it was a fight. But guess what? I fought it. With Jesus' help, I fought it. And we went forward. I fought the good fight. I finished the race and I have remained faithful. How awesome. Amen? At the end of my life, or if I don't even get the chance, I would hope the next generation would look back and say, or hope my daughter would say, my dad fought the good fight. My dad finished the race. My dad remained faithful. Do you understand? When I think that way, and I think what future generations, what I would want them to think of me, that makes me want to fight today. Right? Some of you need to take that word legacy and write it down. It affects you today. If you think about what you want your children or your grandchildren, or if you don't have any of them, what future generations within our church or whatever, what they would say about your life, it makes you make different choices today. Doesn't it? It affects you today. And Paul says, the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness from the Lord. And this prize, he says, is not just for me. It's for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. Paul's basically saying, Timothy, this crown of righteousness that I'm getting from Jesus isn't just for me. It's for you too. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. How about when evil people come up against you? You fight. Because it's a good fight for the true faith. How about when the economy hits you and you lose your job? You fight. Because it's a good fight. How about when your spouse leaves you and they refuse to apologize and they don't even give you a reason? You fight the good fight. Right? You keep moving forward for the Lord. Right? How about when the doctor calls and says, you got this bad disease, you're dying in 2 minutes. You fight the good fight. You trust Jesus and you live for Him. Right? Amen? All the days that He gives you, knowing that the crown awaits for you. You fight the good fight. Other churches, listen, they preach a watered-down, mamby-pamby social gospel that says that God is love and that's the only thing we need to focus on. And Jesus saves everybody just because. And it doesn't matter how you live and we can just hug each other. And if you say this prayer and give your money, all your problems will go away. We don't preach that gospel here. We preach the gospel that Paul preached. He went through tough times. He fought the good fight. He's in heaven. Thank the Lord. And I want you to know, if you love Jesus, you're going to have tough times. But it's worth it all to go to heaven, isn't it? Isn't Jesus worth it all? Amen? Anybody here willing to get a backbone for the Lord? Amen? And say, I will not cower down to anybody. I will seek Jesus. And this Memorial Day, I will want to leave a legacy. That when people look back at my life, should Jesus wait on His return, they will look back and just see somebody who wasn't perfect, but who loved Jesus. Amen? So as we pray, the question is, what will you leave? What will you leave? Can I pray for you today? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we love you today. We give you praise and honor and glory. I thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. I thank you for saving us. Lord, even though there's no way we could be right with you on our own, we love the gospel that says that you came and gave your life to make us right. None of us in this room are ready for heaven apart from you. Every one of us can only go to heaven because of what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation.